For more on President Obama's speech yesterday, I'm joined now by Claudio Sanchez, NPR's education correspondent. Good to have you on the program, Claudio.
Good to be here, Lynn.
Now, Claudio, President Obama said in his speech yesterday that one way to halt the dropout rate is to give $900 million to states and school districts that agree to drastically change or close their worst performing schools. But as we just heard, that's already happening at this school in Rhode Island. So how are these two things related?
Well, the fact is that reconstituting schools, which is often the term that's used, is precisely what's happened in Rhode Island. And it's not unusual for schools to try and restart or jumpstart a whole new effort to get these kids to perform and to succeed. The difference is that the president has kind of jumped into this conversation, which is very, very unusual. I mean, for the president to say, look, this school was right to do this, that the firings were justifiable, is unusual. But it also makes or helps him make the point that he's been trying to drive home in the larger sense, which is we're going to hold you, schools, teachers, administrators, and states accountable for the results that you're getting. And it's time to really start doing this seriously, as opposed to under No Child Left Behind, where the threat of the federal government was, we're going to punish you, we're going to pull the money out of your schools, we're going to force you to reconstitute, to start over again. But there was never really any follow-up to that. Now we're seeing examples, like in Rhode Island, of schools actually doing this. And again, the president is obviously very supportive of what's happened.
Well, how exactly would this initiative work?
Well, the president in his speech on Monday, for example, cited not just failing schools, you know, the 2,000 high schools out there that he calls dropout factories, and $900 million to help address that. This is part of a much larger effort, $3.5 billion with a B, that is targeting the poorest performing schools, up to 5,000 schools throughout the country. And what he has laid down is a plan to deal with struggling schools, number one, requiring essentially replacing the principal and half of the school's faculty, which is called the turnaround model. There's also a requirement that the school become an independently run, publicly funded charter school. That's the restart model. There's a third option, which would require dramatic changes in school schedules, longer school days, new instructional approaches, more scrutiny of teachers' performance. That's the transformation model. And finally, if nothing else works, Mr. Obama is proposing that failing schools be shut down and students transfer to other schools.
Well, how likely is it that steps like these will fix these schools?
Well, we're going to watch very carefully to see if it does work, because one thing that's evident is that a lot of this will clash with local collective bargaining rights in states where, you know, teachers have a contract with the school district. In the Rhode Island example, I mean, these teachers are being laid off. The decisions to make these changes to clean house was done unilaterally, apparently, and this flies in the face of collective bargaining rights. So there's a huge fight, which is why the American Federation of Teachers, which represented or speaks for the union in Rhode Island in that school, essentially fired back immediately after the president gave his speech yesterday and said, the president is wrong. He doesn't have his facts. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's really alienating what was already a very skeptical union membership out there that doesn't like a lot of what he's proposing. And so he's got a fight on his hands. But clearly, Mr. Obama has decided to take the gloves off as well.
But why? Why now?
I think the timing is important because, as we've all been hearing for the last few months, there's a lot of money out there that is trickling down to schools as competitive grants. These are no longer formula-driven grants that go to the states regardless of how they do. These are grants that are going to, in the president's words, reward success and essentially deprive schools that are not doing well of some of that money. There's a lot of money that is pending. States have applied for much of this money. And now we're looking towards August for the reauthorization of the 1965 Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which became, under the Bush administration, No Child Left Behind. It is now being, again, called the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. And this is the huge, huge piece of legislation that dominates the federal role in K-12 education. And because, again, there's more money at stake, states now reeling from budget cuts, reeling from the prospects of even more teacher layoffs and dramatic education cuts right around the corner. I mean, these are states that are really struggling, and they want that money. And so there's not as much resistance as one would have expected, given that the federal role is now very, very aggressive. And so now it's the unions, really, that have taken up the cause of their membership and said, we're not just going to lay down and let you do this to us.
NPR education correspondent Claudio Sanchez, he joined us in our Washington studio. Thanks so much, Claudio.
You're welcome.